Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Yale Is Like!
Oh, screw careful it. There, man.
It's all right, man.
It's all right. It's like a weird... I got my wisdom teeth out, first and foremost, just to get that off my chest, and so... Mm-hmm.
Your wisdom teeth are on your chest now?
Yeah, they are.
That is such a barbaric implanted. Procedure.
No, but I had them removed, and so now, like, when I make high-pitched noises like that, it's... It's like a physical... It's like the physical component of having nails scratched across a chalkboard. That's what it's like. Yeah. Or the equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... Feel that in the back of my jaw. It's like biting on foil.
I think you should do Barry White-esque characters in the future.
Hey, yes. Baby, what's up?
That actually works a lot better. Hey, sweet. Baby.
So what's up to all the peeps up in the place to be? How you doing?
How you doing? You How looking you forward doing? To the next 2 hours?
Are you looking forward to it? Is this something you're excited about?
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, are you just sitting by the radio thinking, God, the next hour and a half of my life...
It's going to be perfect.
How can anything top the next hour and a half of my life? Except for a week from now when, you know, I'm listening again with rapt attention, when the 2 hours will be even better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though right now I can't possibly imagine how that could be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've thrown away all the rotten groceries... After waking up out of your week-long coma, from which you retired from the world, because you just simply didn't find any need to carry on with your duties, your other responsibilities, quote-unquote, while we were off the air. But now you can rest assured, and, you know, we figure there's about a half-hour lag time at 12 o'clock where people are still awake before they slip into their week-long coma.
Right. Sure.
Deep which, crippling depression.
Right, right. Well, you know, when you can start packing in all your errands, return some phone calls, you know, clean off the answering machine and pick up the newspapers outside your door, stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Get your wisdom teeth taken out.
Do some homework.
Oh, yeah.
So you made the big switch in shoe styles.
I did. I'm going cash. I
got Are you going cash?
Yeah, I got some new sneakers. Because the shoes that I had before had no traction at all. They were completely slick. So I kept falling on campus a lot in front of lots and lots of people.
New mm-hmm. Balance.
I've acquired a new balance in my life.
Yeah.
Let's go the old
a
one.
A yin and a yang, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I shifted places in the shoe paradigm recently, too. I went from boots to regular, you know, low tops.
That's a
yeah.
huge paradigm shift.
Oh, it is. It is.
People use
it's
paradigm.
Jarring.
And it is.
Yeah.
So, what's up with you peeps?
I saw a really awesome show over the last week. Because, you know, we don't really go to sleep. We don't go into a coma. There's no need to.
No, really not for us, because we're all the entertainment we need.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being us for a week, folks. Just imagine that.
Wow.
The sensory overload.
Seriously, being the entertainers and the entertained at the same time.
Waking up and looking down and seeing you have this body. That's what I was thinking more along the lines of.
We're like comedic hermaphrodites, you know? Mm-hmm. We can please ourselves.
Wow.
So I saw a show at the High Dive.
Oh, Jesus.
On last Thursday.
Oh, did you?
An incredible rock band. Really rocked my balls off. After the set, I had to go searching around the darkest corners of the High Dive looking for my balls.
That's a problem.
Because they were rocked off so badly. Just an incredible, incredible show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great rock experience. So you don't really come up. You come up shy. I think you get gypped a lot on the Champagne rock scene. And there's a lot of great bands. There's a lot of great bands.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of crappy shows. You know, a lot of people just kind of throw a band together. And
sure.
And, you know, certainly not all those bands will offer up the rock, you know, even if they're great in their own respect.
So would you say this band was a glowering juggernaut of rock?
Without hesitation, I would say that.
What I heard, though, the rumor circuit is that that was actually the peak of the band's career. And from this point on, it's downwards.
Downhill.
Because the lead singer is actually less of a man now.
Yeah.
He's there's less of him. There's 4 less teeth in his mm-hmm. Mouth.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was definitely not only that. The actual physical loss of his being, but it was just really like a man-ness overload, you know? Like, mm-hmm. kind of hit the crest. It was kind of like the high noon of his manliness.
Super freaky short circuit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we can only hope that he'll recover and he'll turn up on the music scene later doing maybe an acoustic solo set or in a record service.
I've heard that after massive testosterone transfusions for the last couple of days that the man is bigger and better than ever.
Is that possible? That's
that
my question.
That his manhood has inflated to 10 times its normal proportions. And
that's pretty big.
Wow.
Certainly nobody could ever fit in one room with, you know, this man.
No. He's a big fat man. He's
fat
old.
Fat on his own manliness.
Fat. He's living off the fat of his own manliness.
That's a great lifestyle.
It is. I would imagine.
Don't need money. Don't need fame. Just like
you know,
Lewis
the day
said.
You wake up. And have you guys hit this the day when you wake up and you just realize that you are everything you always wanted to be? Like, oh wait, I am. I'm a rock star.
I've
God's gift to everyone.
Yeah. The problem I had that problem because I woke up and said that when I was 8 years old. And so I figured, I've got like 72 or so years left to just fill time.
I decided really early on that I wanted to be a Viking and I wanted to rule Greenland. And it's going to be a while before I get to be all that I want.
You're making progress, though. You're writing incessant letters, though. You just won't quit.
Oh, the letters.
You're sending all these letters to Greenland.
Braiding, and you've almost got a war barge.
Braiding my beard, yeah.
And, you know, Greenland's being a total little bitch. They're not even writing back.
No, I know.
They're not even calling your shots.
Yeah, they don't even have an application form for ruling you as a Viking. You know?
I mean, it's like...
Like, a lot of places have that even on the web, you know, that you can just fill out with
a...
You know,
and submit it, right.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even have a paper form.
Totally slow. Kind of bugged.
On the Viking tip.
Yo.
Yo, what up with the Viking tip?
Somebody getting sent out to sea on a funeral barge, a big, massive funeral pyre. Charles Schulz, creator of Peanuts.
You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm not a huge Peanuts fan. I never really have been.
What's charming, though?
But there's something about Charles Schulz. Yeah. You know, there's something about... He's just one of those guys, you know. It's like you can't fault what he did. You can't find a fault. Like he was just trying to bring joy.
That's exactly right. He made lots of kids happy.
He did, and there was something deeper going on in Peanuts than you know what we all thought. Whatever we saw, you know, it's like when you're 8, you look at Peanuts, you know. Yeah. But when you know, you can look back now and go, I guess he is an existentialist every man, you know. And
I guess
there was something more going on.
I guess Peppermint Patty was a lesbian.
No, she wasn't. She was full on in love with Chuck.
I'll die in a heartbeat. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. I was, I don't know. I'll come right out and say the strip has not been funny in like a decade or so. Mm-hmm. But I was a huge Snoopy fan. I mean, Snoopy's a freaking cool character.
Snoopy's cool. Even doper than that is Woodstock.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yes, Woodstock.
How much the bomb is Woodstock.
All kinds of Woodstock.
Just awesome. Strong, silent, getting stuff done, you know.
One of the very first cartoon characters ever, I think really set this trend, to have his own posse. To have his peeps, you know.
Sure.
Because Woodstock would bring out the
At
peeps.
At his command,
every once
he had a gang.
Yes.
He was really the best.
And they all looked just like him, but they were smaller.
He's really the best in the cartoons when he would just flop around in circles.
Yeah. Yes.
And like land. Ain't no thing. Ain't no thing to Woodstock. He gets right back up.
Just kind of lay around.
It's really one of my favorite animated cartoons ever.
Yeah. You know, to me, Peanuts, you take all the kids, whatever. Charles Schulz, to me, is that image of Snoopy lying on his back on the doghouse.
Oh, sure.
Woodstock perched on his nose.
Absolutely.
You know, just hanging. Those two, like the inseparable... I'm almost misting up. You know, it's like the...
See, the more you talk about it,
the
more you realize
the importance.
But it's
true. It's like, you got the bird and the dog, these two, and they're just inseparable. It's like this... It was the purest relationship.
It's true.
One of the purest, most
didn't
pure
even need
relationships.
Words.
Yeah, it really didn't. They just... You didn't know why. It was like Bill and Opus. Another great,
man.
Yeah.
Another one of those things where it's just...
See, Opus just tolerated Bill, and Bill was just appreciated him.
What was the... and why? Even when Bill had Donald Trump's brain, things still went okay, you know? And never got that weird on Snoopy and Woodstock, but...
No.
You know, it really was. It was something... I remember I bawled like a baby when I saw this. One of the very first stage productions I ever saw was a college production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And, the director was my dad's roommate from college. The guy playing Snoopy actually came out and accosted the hell out of me during the performance. But I remember that.
Were they in costumes?
Yeah. So he had this big Snoopy costume on. Except, well, he didn't have a Snoopy head. Mm-hmm. He just had, like, paint on his face. Yeah. But they had, like, a dog costume.
What do you mean by accosted?
Came out like he was singing. Snoopy does some song, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember it very well. But he was picking me up. And I was only probably, like, 7. Guys picking me up and throwing me around because, you know, they had targeted me as But I always remember that.
So, the best production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown that I ever saw was in high school. It was done by another high school. And Snoopy was played by this girl who had just come from Poland that semester.
That day.
Her first couple months in the United States. And she had just, she was trying to hit the ground running in terms of learning English and everything. But she didn't know much, and she had a very, very thick accent. She was playing Snoopy. And it was wonderful.
Comrade.
Yes.
Let's give a moment of silence and respect for
Charles Schultz.
Charles Schultz.
And also just all departed quality comic strips.
Yeah.
You know, I bought the last Outland collection.
Did you?
Yeah. Truly touching, the end of that. Just, one of the last strip was just, Bill holding a postcard from Opus,
mm-hmm.
and Opus lying in the arms of his mom. And it was really touching, and Bill just sitting in Outland in his underwear, because, like, for the last, I guess, 2 years that strip, things got really weird, and they all just wore BVDs all the time. They didn't, they all wore briefs, like, because I think Ronald Dan pointed out that they were all males, and none of them wore pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Steve Dallas joined the cast pretty much full-time again.
Yeah.
And so then Steve Dallas, Opus, the Mortimer Mouse, and Bill just sat around on this couch and out.
Milk
and
Toast.
Milk Toast actually had little cockroach underpants as well.
Yeah, Peanuts never really went through that weird period like that. They really kind of kept it on an even keel throughout, except you'll notice Woodstock, of course. The name Woodstock comes from the late 60s festival. And one character that was dropped shortly after the creation of Woodstock, because Charles Schultz was on that whole tip of naming characters after major late 60s, early 70s festivals, was Altamont, the angry beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Was just a really mean character. Was, took this strip through a really weird period in the early 70s.
Yeah. I bet Lucy feels really bad now that Charlie Brown is dead. For not ever letting him kick the damn football.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, I
then
was...
Again, isn't Lucy dead, too?
That's a good point, man. Yeah. That's a good point.
Not that I don't have all respect for the man, but I really wish, instead of his final strip, if you haven't seen it, then, turn off the radio or swallow the radio or something like that. But his final strip, appearing in newspapers today, I think, but I saw it a long time ago, was just, it was basically, had really small pictures of all of the characters, I think, and most of it was just him, like, Charles Schultz writing, thank you very much, I'm very grateful that you all read my strip. Couldn't the last one have been him kicking it?
Yeah.
Oh, you think.
Artists, he's an existential everyman. Artists have the power to empower the existential everyman.
True. You'd think, right?
Yeah.
But you know what?
Or at least just, like... him choking Lucy,
mm-hmm.
that'd have been awesome.
Like her back on the ground, just slamming her head against a rock or something.
Or just like a panel, like the first panel says, 20 years later. And it's just like this horrible bloodbath with Charlie Brown atop a tower somewhere with a rifle.
So, yeah, or maybe, I don't know if I'd like that maybe, one. Yeah.
Come on, Van Pelt!
What was the piano guy?
Sure.
That's Sherman.
Schroeder. Maybe he has like Charlie Brown's sister like bent over the piano or something.
All right.
See, I don't think these are good. I don't like these ones as much.
Well, there's no doubt that Charles Schultz toyed with all these ideas, but he decided to go the sentimental route, and we can't knock him for that,
But I think there might be something to not having Charlie Brown kick it, and I think that's because I think it's a more powerful thing, and this sounds cheesy and horrible, but I think it is a more powerful thing, especially for fans, like hardcore fans, the Peanuts thing. Said we're allowed to decide whether Charlie ever kicked the ball. And of course he did.
Yeah.
What's more important? The failures are more important than that one time he finally kicks the ball.
Or maybe
it's more important how he handles every time that he doesn't.
Yeah, another good idea was that the Great Pumpkin comes and devours the whole town except for Linus, who he adopts as his right-hand man, and they go rule the underworld. Or maybe, something more sentimental and also sad.
Well, where Pigpen's... Pigpen actually bred a brand new strain of super virus. And that filthy, virus. Yeah, it was a flesh-eating microbe.
Finally, the Red Baron brought up for his war crimes.
Yeah, which is nice to see.
Maybe it's just something touching, like Charlie Brown standing on the pitching mound in the rain, mm-hmm. and everybody else in the field staying and playing the game, too, instead of running away.
Yeah.
Or, Charlie Brown flipping through, this month's Hustler and seeing the little red-haired girl in there and being like, Well, probably was a good idea that we didn't finally look it up. Look at the tramp now.
Maybe all the adults speaking English.
That'd have been nice. I'm glad we didn't have to see that painful transition. The thing I've always wanted to see is, you know,
little hash marks when the adults talk.
Puberty in Charlie Brown land.
Yeah, where you gradually, yeah.
So I went to that, is your voice changing? No! No, it's not!
That'd be a really great skit.
Yeah.
I wrote that. I tell you, I know they ever did it.
Really?
Yeah. Just sitting around somewhere.
Oh, I want to see that. All right.
Well, we spent a lot of time on Charles Schultz, didn't we?
And even an even bigger war barge set out to sail for Big Pun.
Big Pun.
It was a big war barge.
It's actually two war barges
and a dinghy
bolted together.
And it didn't really sail. It kind of sank.
It kind of sank.
Yeah.
Right off the coast of Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, much respect to him.
Yeah, Big Pun. Big Punisher died this last week. He... died.
Apparently it's not healthy to be 700 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently in recent months he was having difficulty walking, but this, you know, he just kind of figured that would pass, that walking would go away as the things that human beings do.
You know, the richer you get, the less important walking becomes in your lifestyle, you know?
Yeah, maybe he had a jetpack or something in the later years, but whatever it was entirely fatal, and Big Pun is gone. Fat Joe's still out there. Hopefully Fat Joe will reform. I tend to think not.
Well, see, we can look forward to Big Pun's seven
posthumous albums. Yeah.
Yeah, really. Getting tired of that crap. That's creepy.
What you got there, man?
I'm putting my ice packs on. My jaw's really getting sore, guys.
Cool jaw. That's all right, dog.
Too much talking at one time. I'll be fine. I'm just going to look silly.
Okay. Visual jokes.
that's great.
Shut up.
They always hype like the posthumous Notorious B.I.G. albums and the posthumous, you know, Tupac Shakur albums, you know, wondering, you know, did they know they were going to die? It just seems so prescient, you know, that all these hints and overtones of death. And the Big Pun albums that haven't yet been released, they're kind of ominous, too, in the sense that that lots of songs about continuing to eat, you know, and maybe one day not eating. And you just kind of wonder if he knew.
This really gritty, controversial album called that's coming out called Gravy, Gravy, Gravy. It's just 14 hard-hitting, gritty street songs about gravy and the many uses of and his
Yo,
many
give
experiences
up my gravy.
With,
I really dug that one. Yo, many, give up my gravy.
You know, follow up to the ribs, ribs, ribs. Not so successful. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really more realized in Gravy, Gravy, Gravy.
Yeah.
Well. I think, you know, a lot of people have saw Ribs, Ribs, Ribs as just kind of a rehash of the places he had been on his Burgers, Burgers, Burgers album. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of entry level. He was going with something and it wasn't actually actualized.
And really his groundbreaking debut, Can of Butter, yo.
Well, really, I mean...
That's a classic. That's like the Chronic, you know?
Yeah.
No, it is.
That's up there.
So, mad props to you, Big Pun. And especially when you come down... And
I hope you're rolling.
Crush the world in your gigantic ham fist.
Mm-hmm. I really hope you're rolling around in a big vat of Crisco in the sky there, Big Punny.
With a big ladle.
Audio footnote. This is Apex of What Jail Is Like, number 10. What Jail Is Like makes fun of a big, dead, fat man. And audio footnote.
Oh, we really do go for a high point.
If we keep tackling... You know, our long list, our tackling our agenda with such efficiency, we're not going to have material for, you know, next month even.
No, that's true.
We really got to slow down on accomplishing these apexes.
You really got to calm down.
Yeah.
Do I look silly as I feel?
Eric has this white kind of sock-looking thing.
Yeah, strap.
Wrapped around his head because he did have his wisdom teeth taken out earlier this week, and now he has to have cold things wrapped around his head.
I was doing all right, but I couldn't take codeine before I came to the show. That would dull the comedic edge, so I just took some Aleve. And that made it for the first 35 minutes, but, you know, the dull ache was starting. So
wisdom teeth removal, really a disturbing process. Since I know Eric, I've been kind of intimate with the entire thing. Not in a biblical sense.
Dentist, and I got x-rays of my molars taken by my dentist. Mm-hmm. And the whole time while the thing was developing, I'm getting, like, my fingers across, you know, like, because they hurt every so often because they knew they were coming in. So, you know, they'd be, like, every month or so, they get tender for a little bit. Pictures come in, and all of my wisdom teeth are coming perfectly straight.
Oh, cool.
And perfectly lined up, like, behind my molars.
I'm going to tell you the problem here, though. Mine were three of my four were in. The fourth one was never coming in, and it was never going to cause a problem. But because of the way my mouth is built, I had a cavity the size of, like, a dime in the far back top left wisdom tooth. And it was, I brush my teeth at least three times a day. But because they're so far back, and especially if you don't know it's there, they tell you that you're just gonna, they don't do anything to those teeth. Like, if you get a cavity back there, they don't fill it. They just yank it out.
Ouch.
So you just gotta really be careful.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, guys, just brush a lot and make sure to get way back there.
Yeah.
Poke yourself in the tonsil if you gotta.
Yeah.
But you don't wanna go through this.
You don't wanna wear a Velcro sock in your head.
No.
Shut up.
That makes your co-host feel kind of strange. Does that
help, though? It looks like it might help.
It feels so much better. Like, yeah. I could talk all night now.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm glad.
Right.
So if you have calls of sympathy, milkshakes.
Oh, God, a milkshake would be so wonderful. Some cold beverage to put in
a donation,
mouth.
Perhaps, of your surplus coating for Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, your crank.
That sums it up.
Your smack, your whack, your crack.
Mainline it into your jaw.
Big old, yeah, like surplus coating, you know, get a whole bunch of it, mash it into a ball. Just, you know, codeine balls.
Fill the dry sockets.
Yeah.
Call 359-9338.
Yeah.
WEFT number, which is what you're listening to, and we're what y'all's like.
Yeah, we're going to behave kind of uncharacteristically and cut off this talking segment short, because we usually run really long with this one, but we ran really long with the opening, and we've been running short on the stuff that we do in the second hour recently. So I want to kind of rearrange all that and move off to a song right now. Anybody know what we're doing after the break? Has that been handed down from on high?
Not yet.
I'm going to tickle Eric's dry sockets.
Okay. Matt's going to tickle Eric's dry sockets.
That's pretty gross.
And
I'm going to answer the phone.
Okay, and we're going to go off to a song, 359-9338.